Hi there, my name is Eni Swart and I'm the Dean of Shofar Bible School. I've been a member of Shofar since 1996 and I've been a pastor since 2001. And I really love the Word of God. I believe that one of the great gifts that the Lord has given to His church is His Word, and that it's our responsibility, all of our responsibilities as Christians, and our privilege to understand the Word and to apply the Word, to live it in the local church. And I think the best place to apply Scripture, to apply the Word of God, is the local church. So today we're going to talk a bit about the body of Christ and as the church, and how it functions, how it works together, how it should work together optimally. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, we see it's about the gifts, but when Paul speaks about the gifts, he speaks about it in the context of the body of Christ. And he uses the body as a metaphor, the body that has a diversity of members, but those diversity of members, they work in unity with one another. And any body, for any body to work properly, it needs both those elements, diversity and unity. So what I want you to do, just as an introduction, is in your notes, you'll find a copy of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to read through it with a pen or pencil and just underline everything in that chapter that deals with both diversity and unity. Just take a couple of minutes to do that now. Okay, so as we see in 1 Corinthians 12, both unity and diversity are essential for the healthy functioning of the body. Now, obviously, that means there are two dangers. On the one hand, there's the danger of diversity without unity, which is fragmentation. Diversity at the expense of unity, and the body becomes fragmented and broken up, and it doesn't function in unity, and it doesn't work as it should. The other danger is unity without diversity, or uniformity. So where there's unity without diversity, the body also doesn't function properly as it should. So the question is, how do we attain unity without uniformity and diversity without fragmentation? In other words, we should not undermine either the unity or the diversity of the body of Christ if we want the body of Christ to function properly as it should. Now, the first thing that we should do is we must recognize that it's the same Spirit that creates the unity of the body, which also creates the diversity of that body. So therefore, we should respect both the unity and the diversity of the body. In 1 Corinthians 12 that you just read, you'll notice that in verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So he's in chapter 12 to 14 of 1 Corinthians, he's discussing spiritual gifts. It's one sort of section. Then in verse 4, he says something very important. He says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." And then he goes on in verse 11 to explain, he actually mentions a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. And then in verse 11, he explains to us what he means by that. He says, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. In other words, what Paul is speaking about in this first section of 1 Corinthians 12 is it's the Spirit that creates that diversity within the body. It's the Spirit that gives the different giftings that creates this diversity in the body. Then he goes on in verse 12 to 13 and he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And then the important scripture, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit." So where in the first section of the chapter, he was saying that it's the Spirit that creates the diversity of the body. Here in verse 13, he's saying, but it's the very same Spirit who creates the unity of the body. So we should respect both the unity and the diversity of the body. And if we don't, we are actually quenching the Spirit. So fragmentation, we spoke about two threats, two dangers. The one is diversity without unity or fragmentation, and the other one is unity without diversity or uniformity. So fragmentation or diversity without unity is it's such an obvious threat and danger that we need not spend too much time discussing it. I can just refer you maybe to Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4 verse 3, Paul says, being eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And that's the same unity of the Spirit that he's speaking about in 1 Corinthians 12, 13. It's in one Spirit that we are baptized into one body. That's the unity of the Spirit. Maintaining the unity of the Spirit, one way of doing that is by making sure that this experience of being born of the Spirit, being baptized in the one Spirit into the one body, that remains central. In other words, that we're actually dealing with Christians and that we maintain that unity that Christians have in the Spirit through the bond of peace, by living in peace with one another. So maintain the unity of the Spirit. And then later on, in verse 11, he talks about the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And he says that they are given for the edification of the body of Christ, to train up all the members to be able to effectively do their function within the body. But then he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So there's a unity that you maintain, the unity of the Spirit, and then there's a unity that you attain, the unity of the faith. And an important function of leadership, like apostles and pastors and teachers and whatever, is to attain that unity of the faith. So obviously, fragmentation or diversity without unity is a problem, but I'm not going to discuss that problem too much in this session, because I think we all understand what to do about it, and leadership should take the lead in making sure that the body is one. Now, the opposite problem of unity without diversity is a much more subtle threat. So we're going to look a bit more at that. Now, first we must notice that the most visible members are not necessarily the most important members in the body. And therefore, we should not judge or define the gifts superficially. We should not dismiss certain members with different giftings. Now, this whole issue of the body is something in the unity and diversity, something that not only the Word recognizes, the world recognizes it as well. And even in Paul's time when he wrote 1 Corinthians, the world already was using this metaphor of the body to represent a corporate body of people. And recognizing that the body represents both unity and diversity, and that the most important members are not always the most visible ones. And there's a story from Greek antiquity about the members of a body, a little parable about the members of the body that got upset with the stomach, with the belly, and said, but the belly doesn't do anything. We do all the work, and then the stomach, the belly, just receives all the benefit. And the hands were saying, we work hard every day to be able to get money and food and stuff, and we prepare the food, and then we put it in the mouth, and the mouth says, yes, and I chew the food, and the throat says, yes, and I swallow it, and the belly gets all of it. The belly doesn't do any work, and yet it gets all the benefits. And the rest of the members of the body decided, no, we're going to boycott the belly. We're going to boycott the stomach. And it's just being lazy. It's not pulling its weight. And we're not going to give it any food anymore. And of course, what happened in the parable was that because the belly, the stomach, was no longer receiving food, it was no longer sending that food to the other parts of the body to empower the other parts of the other members of the body to do their work. And eventually the whole body became sick and died. And likewise, in the body of Christ, we must recognize that those members of the body that don't seem to do much, often do much, often it's just the problem is just that we don't understand what those members do and what their function is. So we must appreciate all the members, and it's not only the most visible members that are important. And typically, you know, in our day and age, that would be the members that are on stage. The preachers, the worship leaders, you know, the whoever. They are not the only members that have an important function. And in fact, their function is not necessarily the most important. As important is maybe the person sitting behind the sound desk or the person doing intercession where no one sees and no one often appreciates. So we must learn to recognize that diversity and to appreciate that diversity and not only notice the most visible members. Then also it's important that we define the gifts properly and the members properly. One way of undermining the diversity of the body is by defining the giftings of the Spirit in such a way that it excludes certain gifts and doesn't recognize certain gifts. And then also we must ask ourselves, is the list in 1 Corinthians 12, the first few verses, is that an exhaustive list, or is that just a representative list? Remember that all three of those chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, all deal with spiritual gifts. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And then for three chapters, he discusses it. So we need to see it in that context. Then also, it's important for us to remember that the different members need each other. Therefore, we should celebrate all the different members and giftings. Now, just look at the human hand. One of the things that makes us unique as humans is our hand and the fact that we have an opposable thumb. In other words, our thumb points in a different direction from the rest of our fingers. You can just imagine if you didn't have a thumb, you know, you only had these four fingers, you know, trying to pick up things would be very difficult, you know. But, I mean, in the body, you know, the other fingers might say, you know, look at the thumb. He's being contrary again, you know. He's always seeing things from a different angle. Well, that's a good thing. Often in the name of unity, you know, because the thumb is different, we say, no, you know, there's something wrong with the thumb. But the fact that we have an opposable thumb is the main reason why we can do delicate work and why we can pick up things with ease. And we should value that those differences within the body of Christ as well, just as we value them in our physical bodies. Just as they are necessary in our physical bodies, so they are also necessary in God's spiritual body, the body of Christ. So what we're aiming for is unity in diversity, or diversity in unity, whichever way you want to look at it, but both unity and diversity. And unity without diversity is uniformity. And so often we impose uniformity in the name of unity. You might have heard the Japanese saying, the nail that stands out gets hammered. Now, often that is said in the light of trying to enforce unity, but what it enforces is not unity. It's a false unity. It's uniformity. It's unity without diversity. It's unity at the expense of diversity. It undermines the diversity of the body. While I'm discussing hammer metaphors, let me just mention another metaphor. Hammer metaphor. There's a saying, to the one who only has a hammer, everything eventually starts looking like a nail. And if we as the body of Christ only focus on one gifting, you know, I only appreciate my hammer gifting, then every problem is eventually going to start looking like a nail. And my solution is going to be just hammer it. That solves everything because I'm a hammer. I have a hammer gifting. Now, that is such a big problem in the body of Christ. We should appreciate each other's giftings and each other's different views on issues, and thereby appreciate the diversity of the Spirit that the Spirit created within the body. Now, if we want to maintain that diversity within the unity of the body, we need to celebrate that diversity within the unity of the body. Paul Perkin once said that what you celebrate, you propagate. And if we only celebrate certain giftings and never celebrate other giftings, then the giftings that we celebrate are going to thrive, and those giftings that we neglect or ignore will wane and die out. So, for instance, if we only celebrate, metaphorically speaking now, within the body of Christ, if we only celebrate the hand, then eventually every member of the body will want to be a hand. Just imagine a service where, for instance, the welcome is, you know, turn to your neighbor and shake their hand, you know. And worship is, I lift my hands to the coming King. And the testimony is, I am a hand and look how the Lord has used me. And the word is, five things that only a hand can do. And when you counsel people, it's like, why can't you be more like a hand? And eventually the foot's going to say, well, I want to be a hand too. I don't, feet suck, feet stink. I don't want to be a foot, I want to be a hand. And when the body needs to move somewhere, the foot says, don't look at me, I'm a hand. And so often that happens because we only celebrate one gifting, the hand, at the expense of the foot. What we need to do if we want that to maintain the diversity of the body and sustain the diversity of the body is we need to celebrate all the giftings, even the ones that are not as obvious. Then the diversity of giftings were all designed to serve the one body. And therefore, we should all apply them for the, like Paul puts it, the common good. That diversity exists to serve the unity of the body. And all the diversity of the giftings need to be applied to bless the one body. Now, the gifts can, of course, be abused. We know that. For instance, prophecy can become false prophecy. In fact, one of the problems that Paul was addressing in the church of Corinth was that they were abusing the gift of tongues. They were overemphasizing the gift of tongues at the expense of other giftings. They weren't using the gift of tongues for the common good. They were just exercising the gift of tongues, some people, and not giving opportunity for any of the other gifts to be expressed. And Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians 14 and says, no, if someone speaks in tongues, you know, let two or three speak and let it be interpreted so people can actually understand what's going on. And then let the prophets have their turn. And then let, you know, whoever else have their turn. And Paul addresses how, yes, this gift is being abused, but this is how you should use it properly. Now, many people have seen the abuse of the gifts. And many of people have seen Paul addressing the abuse of the gift in 1 Corinthians. And they've said, because people abuse these gifts, we must those gifts are dangerous. They can be abused. They're dangerous. Let's throw them out. But like Christensen says, the cure for abuse is not disuse, but proper use. And that's what Paul says as well. Paul is not against tongues, for instance. He's not against the use of tongues. He's against the abuse of tongues. And he's not correcting the use of tongues, but he's correcting the abuse of tongues. So what we need to do is make sure that in our body there are measures to make sure that, firstly, the gifts and the different members don't fall into disuse and that they don't fall into abuse. So what I'm trying to say today is that there are two dangers. The body is a diversity in unity. And the danger is to either neglect and lose the diversity or to lose the unity. And there are certain things that we need to do. And one of those things is we really need to celebrate the diversity of the body, the different giftings, the fact that we are all different, we have different talents, different empowerments by the Holy Spirit, etc. So what I want you to do, just as an exercise to start off with, is think of this saying, what you celebrate, you propagate. If you celebrate something, you know, it increases. So what you celebrate, you propagate. So think about the giftings or the members that are most celebrated in your tradition. Are there any giftings that are neglected in your tradition? And what could you do about that? Just take a couple of minutes to discuss it. Thank you.